If you're a busy wife and mom, maybe you can relate to these thoughts about physical intimacy in marriage.
There are times when you are just so weary physically that meeting your husband's needs is kind of the last thing on the list. And you try to sneak in the bed and pray that he won't wake up or that he's not feeling amorous because you just don't think you can do anything else for anyone.
You're listening to Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, February 25th. Later in the program, Nancy is going to talk candidly about what marriage can teach everybody about developing intimacy with God. But first, she's continuing a conversation on physical intimacy in marriage. You might want to steer your younger children away from the radio, then come back and listen to this important topic. Here's Nancy to get us started.
We're talking this week about one of the most practical ways that a married woman can express her love to God and her submission to God, and that is in her physical relationship with her husband. To help us address that issue, we've had with us all this week two women, my longtime friend Holly Eliff, who's been married 30 years as a wife and a mother and has a real heart for the Lord and for women, and then Linda Dillo, who has co-authored with Lorraine Pintus. I wish Lorraine could have been here with us as well.
Me too.
But Linda is here with us to talk about this issue, which she has addressed in a book called Intimate Issues, 21 Questions That Christian Women Ask About Sex. And Linda, as you and Lorraine wrote this book, you interviewed 1,000 women, and you asked them if you could have any question answered about the sexual relationship, what would it be? And this book is really a response biblically to the questions that came up in that survey. One of the chapters in your book is entitled, What Do I Do When I Don't Want to Do It? And you say that when a woman feels stretched beyond her limit with trying to balance all her roles in life, lovemaking can become just one more thing to check off her list.
You know, as a wife and a mother of 8 and a very busy woman, which I am, I really identify with that. There are times when you are just so weary physically that meeting your husband's needs is kind of the last thing on the list. And you try to sneak in the bed and pray that he won't wake up or that he's not feeling amorous because you just don't think you can do anything else for anyone. So how do we maintain that balance in meeting our husband's needs and going before the Lord and saying, God, give me grace to do this?
As with everything else, for me, it is going back to God's Word and saying, God, I know what my attitude is. I see what so many other women's attitudes are, but what is your attitude? And I find His attitude that gives me the grace and the strength when I'm weary, in 1 Corinthians 7.
And Linda, as you get into this passage, let's just ask women, if they're in a place where they can do this, to open their Bible.
That's good.
And join us with, now if you're driving, don't do this, but no, if you're in a place where you can, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 7, because this is one of the most important biblical passages on the area of physical intimacy.
And it's also a very misunderstood passage, because I have women tell me all the time, I heard when I was growing up that sex was a duty for a wife.
Right. And that word actually appears in some translations.
In most translations. In fact, I'm going to read a translation that uses the word duty, and then we'll address it. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 and 4. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise also the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Holly, what do you think of when you think of the word duty?
Well, you know, a duty doesn't sound real fun to
me.
I do a lot of laundry and cooking and cleaning dishes, and those are duties, but
they're
are not fun.
No, and putting your intimate relationship with your husband alongside of doing the dishes, just, it doesn't mesh real well. So
God obviously is saying something
different. It's a very poor usage. But there really isn't an English word that describes the beautiful message in the Greek in which the New Testament was written. And in the Greek, the word translated duty means a debt that is owed. Well, now, why, Holly, do you and I as wives owe our husband a debt?
Right.
It's because of the next verse. It's because of verse 4. What was to have transpired on our wedding night is that we were to have participated in a gift exchange. I was to give over authority of my body to my husband. I was to give him my body as a gift, and he was to give over authority of his body to me and give me his body as a gift. We exchanged gifts. When I give over authority, then I don't think of something as a duty, but I do owe a debt because I've given it freely. Often, when I explain this to women, they look at me and say, well, how does a wife give over authority of her body? What if I didn't understand it and I didn't do that? And I share with them about my precious friend Kathy, who, when she understood this, said, next week is Valentine's Day, and I am going to give my husband my body as a gift. I want to read you just a couple of words out of the journal she shared with me about what her thoughts were when she determined bravely on Valentine's Day to give her husband her body as a gift. She said, February 14th, today's the day when I will give my body to my husband as a gift. Honestly, I'm so nervous. Why am I nervous, God? This is what you want. February 15th, last night was a sweet evening. I told John when I gave my body to him that I'd never really fully given over authority of it when we were married and on our honeymoon. She said, it was always my body, so I determined if and when I would give it. So she said, with a ribbon on and nothing else, I stood before him and offered myself. He wept. Do I feel differently? Yes, it is a constant reminder that this body belongs to him. Kathy and her husband are now missionaries, and she keeps in contact with me, and she says that this giving over of her body in this sweet ceremony was the beginning of a totally new relationship for them.
And I do think, because this is a battleground area in many marriages, women need God's perspective. And it's also wonderful to me to realize that just as I ask for God's grace, as I minister to my children, as I go to him for physical energy to be able to meet the needs of my home, I can go before the Lord and ask for him to pour out his grace in this area. And then as I take the first steps in obedience of meeting my husband's needs, God gives me the desire to be a blessing to my husband.
I totally agree that God extends grace in every area, but it starts with that commitment that I give over authority of my body, because if it doesn't belong to me, then I have the desire to say, God, give me your grace, give me your perspective, give me the energy to love my husband tonight. When I am so tired, I just feel like dropping in bed and being left alone. It gives the inner motivation when you make that choice. You know, maybe some of the women listening are thinking, well, I've been married 20 years or 30 years. I'm too old to do something like that. And let me just say, you don't have to do it with a ribbon. That's just the way Kathy chose to do it. It's the attitude of the heart.
So as a woman makes that choice and makes that surrender of her body and herself as a gift to her husband, she's really making a surrender of herself to the Lord.
Absolutely.
This is an expression of her love and surrender to the Lord. And what is that going to mean for her then on an ongoing basis? The fact that she's given herself, her body to her husband, he has authority over it. This is her gift to her husband. Practically, what is that going to mean for her in her marriage?
I think first, Nancy, we know biblically that there is joy in obedience. That when we are obedient, when we surrender to what God has asked, that there is joy. So I believe a woman will experience joy. Does that mean that she's never again going to be tired and feel like she just can't give physically or emotionally to her husband? Absolutely not. But I know for me and the women who have obeyed God and given over authority of their bodies, that it gives them that extra push to just reach out and love their husband as God wants them to.
And the wonderful thing is that in every area of our lives, including a married woman's physical relationship mm-hmm. with her husband, but in every area, as we obey God, it often requires faith. Obedience is often not something I feel like doing, but as I'm willing to surrender myself to God and to the circumstances that He has put into my life, and to say, God, I choose as an expression of faith to obey You, then we find that God energizes us, He quickens us, He enables us, He gives the desire and the power to obey Him as we humble ourselves, say, Lord, I need You in this area of my life, and then as we step out in faith and obedience.
And I think that what you said, Nancy, is so well said, that we need to bring the area of our physical intimacy with our husbands as married women before the Lord, just like we do every area of our life. And many married women fail to do that. But just as I bring the raising of my children, my ministry with women, everything that I do before Him, I need to also bring this area.
We've been talking about intimate issues in the lives of married women, and particularly focusing on a married woman's sexual relationship with her husband. Now, I have to tell you that as a single woman, I have made a practice over the years of believing that that's an area that really best ought to be discussed by married women. So I don't read books on women's sexual relationship, on physical issues. It's not a conversation I often get into because, and I would just say to those of you who are single women, I think it's important for us to guard our minds, to guard our thoughts, and not to let our minds go places that, well, here's how I can explain it. In the Song of Solomon, the scripture says, don't awaken love until it's right time. And for those of us who are single, it's not the right time to awaken thoughts or discussion about sexual issues. So that's why I've had Holly and Linda as two married women discussing this subject over the past several days. However, in preparation for these interviews, I found myself needing to read major portions of the book that Linda Dillo has co-authored on women and sexual issues, the book called Intimate Issues. And as I read this book, which is very practical, I was asking the Lord to guard my heart, to guard my mind as a single woman. But I want to share with you that the Lord did something for me very precious and very rich in my relationship with Him as my heavenly bridegroom as I was reading that book. You know, over the last couple of years, I have found that in my relationship with the Lord, particularly since we started Revive Our Hearts, my life has become so busy and so full. And I realized as I was reading this book for married women on the sexual relationship with their husbands, that in my relationship with the Lord, I have done what a lot of married women do in their relationship with their husband. And that is that they let busyness, children, other responsibilities crowd out time with the one that they love. And the intimacy begins to suffer. And the Lord began to convict my heart as I read this book that in many ways I've neglected cultivating an intimate love relationship with the Lord Jesus. I think of the passage in Luke chapter 10 of the two sisters who invited Jesus into their home, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His word, loving Him, relating to Him, listening to Him, and just being close to Him. And her sister Martha was doing something that we ought to do that as women. She was serving, but in the process of serving, she became overwhelmed. And as she did, Jesus became very distant and very far from her. And she became irritated, agitated, upset, frustrated, ultimately began barking out orders, even to Jesus, saying, tell my sister to come in here and help me. And, you know, as I think about that passage and as I was reading this book on intimacy in marriage, I thought back to many times in my childhood, in my years as a younger woman, and even in more recent years, when I have enjoyed with the Lord a very personal and warm and intimate and unhindered relationship with Him. And I thank the Lord for those times. I have, particularly as a single woman, such a conscious sense that the Lord is my bridegroom. And let me say, whether you're married or single, your first relationship is with the Lord. And God has blessed me over the years with the joy of knowing Christ intimately and walking with Him intimately. But you know, as I've gotten older and gotten busier in the work of the ministry, I found it so easy to neglect that intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Himself. And so I found God speaking to me about having lost a lot of the passion and the fervency of my first love relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know, the thought entered my mind that if I were married and had dealt with my husband in the way that I have often dealt with the Lord over these last months, I probably would have wrecked my marriage. Now, thankfully, the Lord's love is unconditional, and He is always there, always involved, always available. But as I read this book about a woman's physical relationship with her husband, I saw some important parallels in my relationship with the Lord. Let me just share with you what some of those are. First of all, I realized that maintaining intimacy in a marriage requires time, attention, and effort. You have to make it a priority. It doesn't just happen. And that is so true as well in my relationship with the Lord, that it has to be a conscious, intentional priority and focus of my life. And then in the physical relationship of a man and wife, what Linda Dillo calls in her book quickies, as far as sexual encounters, those are not wrong, but they can't sustain an intimate relationship, that there have to be times that a husband and wife have more extended times of expressing their love physically to each other. And in our relationship with the Lord, times that you set apart where you have more extended, prolonged, intense communication with Him as your lover. And then physical intimacy in marriage and giving pleasure to a partner often requires that a wife act in faith, not based on feelings. And that is so true, again, in my relationship with the Lord and yours, that we need to do the things that we know give God pleasure, regardless of whether or not we feel up to it, regardless of how we feel or what our circumstances are, and that as we do, our love will mature and deepen. And then the Lord showed me that even as a wife is called to give herself fully to her husband, without holding back, without reserve, and to enjoy the ecstasy of a marital relationship, the Lord intended for that just to be a picture of what He wants to have in our personal relationship with Him, and that there is to be a fullness and an ecstasy and an overflow of expression, not just giving the outer edge of myself to the Lord, but taking the time to wait in His presence, to be still and to enjoy Him and to give myself fully to Him. And yet I have to confess that so many times as I'm with the Lord, I'm jumping up to handle email or to answer the phone or to go to the door and letting so many other things take priority over that intimate time with the Lord. And the Lord convicted my heart and just said to me, "You need to remember what it was like when you were enjoying more of an intimate relationship with me, and that my heart needed to be repentant and to restore, to return to those kinds of expressions of love for the Lord Jesus that I have experienced in the past." You know, sometimes for a couple to have an intimate sexual relationship requires scheduling and putting things on the calendar when they are going to be together, times when they can be together. And so it is important in my relationship with the Lord to schedule and set apart times with Him when I can be unhurried and uninterrupted, if at all possible. And then to make the necessary preparations, even as a couple does physically, throughout the course of a day, preparing a setting, preparing themselves physically. And so I need to prepare myself to enjoy and experience those times of intimacy with the Lord. And then to be creative and learning to express my love to him in new ways, in ways that may not be as comfortable for me, in different ways, and not just to fall into the trap of settling for the routine, the predictable, the same old, same old. And so as I've been before the Lord over these last several days and thinking about how the marriage relationship is intended to be a picture, an earthly picture, of my relationship with my heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, I just have to tell you that the Lord has caused to spring up from within the deepest parts of my heart a new sense of desire and longing and fervency and passion. I found myself talking to the Lord more freely, waking in the middle of the night, early in the morning, late at night, singing to him, speaking to him, not just ignoring him as if he were just omnipresent, but we weren't connecting, but really wanting to connect to him in a fresh, new way.
Nancy Lee DeMoss isn't finished. In a minute, hear what she wrote in her journal after being convicted about her need to develop intimacy with God. We're airing those comments to wrap up the series, Intimate Issues, with Linda Dillo and Holly Eliff. If you missed any of the series, I hope you'll listen or order the CD at reviveourhearts.com. It's full of practical wisdom for wives. And we want to give you an opportunity to deepen in your intimacy with Christ. Revive Our Hearts listeners are going to prepare for Easter this year by reading the book, The Incomparable Christ by J. Oswald Sanders. We invite you to read one chapter each day beginning March 9th. That's the day Nancy begins a teaching series following the outline in this book. Nancy's here to explain why this book.
There's something about the depth and the substance and the way of meditating on Scripture that you find in some of these older writers that's not so easy to come by today. And that's why I'm so thankful that Moody Publishers has made it possible for us to release a special edition of Oswald Sanders' classic book, The Incomparable Christ, and encouraging our listeners not only to get a hold of the book, but also to read it one chapter each day in the weeks leading up to Easter, and to follow along with us on the broadcast as I take the outline from Sanders' book and expand on each of those themes in a way that I think will be really encouraging and uplifting and challenging for our listeners.
We'll send The Incomparable Christ when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts. Ask for it when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or donate online at reviveourhearts.com. All this month, women have been taking on a challenge. As a result, women have been changed, husbands have been changed, and marriages have been changed. Find out how a simple challenge can have such a big effect Monday on Revive Our Hearts. Well, preparing for this week's programs on intimacy and marriage has convicted Nancy's heart about her relationship with God. She's back with one more thought on this.
I just want to share with you a little prayer that I wrote out in my journal a few days ago. And here's the way I expressed that heart to the Lord. I said, "Oh Lord Jesus, you have loved me with a passionate, intense, fiery, unquenchable love. You have given yourself fully to me. You are always expressing your love in fresh new ways. You are always available, never too tired, never preoccupied. I confess and I repent that I have not loved you in a way that is worthy of you." I said, "Lord, please forgive me for my hurried, distracted, measured expressions of love." And then I wrote to the Lord, "Lord, you are my soul's lover and Lord and King. And Lord, I just say these words to you now. You are my bread, my water, my highest good, my joy, my fullness. You are my life, my hope, my satisfaction. I was made for you. I want to pour myself out for you, to love you unreservedly, unashamedly, passionately, and supremely. I want to lavish on you all of my body, soul, and spirit. So may it be true. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.